your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Reiki Master and host Phyllis Lei Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today I have with me a student that I initiated in first degree in my very first class that I gave in Nelson, British Columbia, sometime in the very early 1980s. I'm not sure.
81.
Wow, that was very early. And at that time, her name was Joan Smith. And now I know her as Nornisa. And that's a given name through another spiritual practice that she has, and she'll talk about this later. But I would like to welcome you, Noor, to the show.
Thank you.
And I'm really happy. I just want to tell the listeners, I want to describe where we are. We're just over the border, Washington State border, into Canada. Right after the crossing, you take a left, and you go down the river, really beautiful river, and turn up into the mountains, and we're up on a little plateau, a little bench, they call them here, and Noor has lived in a wonderful wonderful house that's built of wood. It's in the woods, and there's a spring in front of it with a huge willow tree draped over it, and she has lived here for 38 years. This is a celebration because she's packing up and moving on now this year. And she's lived here without electricity or what we know as running water. And it's a wonderful place to come. And I come here and I am instantly taken by the aliveness of the nature here. So thank you for having me today.
It's such a pleasure to see you.
Wonderful. So, Noor, of course, as with all my people, all the people that I've interviewed, I'd love for you to tell the listeners how you met Reiki.
Well, I attended a so-called Festival of Awareness in Nelson. No, actually, that one was in Castlegar, probably in 1980. And a friend of mine, another Reiki master, Rick Bachner, had told me about Reiki and how he had found it at a time when his life was falling apart, and told me that you were going to be at this festival. And so I went with some friends, and Barbara Brown was actually delivering the Reiki class, but you were there, and she graciously introduced you as the next Grand Master. And I went up and talked to you afterwards because she'd said you'd be giving a class. And at that point, I didn't have very much money, and I didn't know how I was going to afford it, but I really wanted to take the class. So I think you said, oh, it'll work itself out somehow. And just the class was about a month after that. So lo and behold, some money came in the mail that I wasn't expecting, and it was just enough for the class. So I showed up at the door of the class, not knowing what I was stepping into and who should answer the door but Rick, who said, well, that didn't take long.
That's great. And
I took the class. Uh-huh. It was definitely a doorway into a new part of my life.
Uh-huh.
One of those, I'd say, transformational experiences that come along.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember this class really well because you were in it. But there was also another young woman in it that I just, she changed my life as a master because she was from Arkansas or something.
Oh, Sarah.
Yeah, and she was like just an amazing young woman. I never met anybody like her. She was like really a, I don't know, just from the hills of Arkansas or someplace like that. And then there's another woman in the class who was a school teacher, and she was Japanese, and she lived in Kaslow. And they somehow connected together. And at the end of the class, the school teacher, the young woman, Sarah, found out that the Japanese woman was a school teacher. And she said, and Sarah said, "Oh, I hate school teachers." And because, of course, she had been really abused in school because of where she came from. And, you know, probably she had some trouble with school. And so somehow this bond healed that for her in the Reiki class. And I realized that as a master, I'm just there. I'm there to share my knowledge and the beginning information, but the magic that happens, it really is about the people who come and about how Reiki brings people together. It was an amazing class.
Yeah, it was an amazing class.
Yeah, it was really amazing.
She's living in Argentina now and working in construction.
Wow, amazing, wonderful. Well, I'm glad to hear that she's still around.
Yeah.
So, you were living out here?
Yes.
At the time? And how did you get here? I'd like to find out that story because I don't, if I've known it, I've forgotten it.
That's a long story. I'll shorten it.
Okay.
I was, my partner and I were dropouts from a commune and trying to find some place to be. And we knew we wanted to be in the country. My three children were with me. They were not his children. And we were asked to stay with some people who lived out near the little community of Nelway, which is the little border crossing town near here. And it was obvious pretty quickly that things were not going to work out with the two men.
I see.
There was difficulty between them. So we started trooping around through the country, and an old-timer told us about some of the old deserted farms out here. Apparently this valley was settled pretty heavily in the Depression. There were something I think there were over 100 families living out here. And when we first came here in 71, there were derelict cabins all over the place. And we wandered onto this place, and there was just the ruins of a cabin here and a pond that had been trampled down by the range cattle, which were here. And we talked to one of the old-timers in the closest town, which is about 22 miles from here. And he said that the people that owned this piece still lived in Salmo. And so we went to talk to the owners, some wonderful people, and asked them if they were interested in selling the place. Mind you, we had $1,000 in an old pickup truck and a cow and a dozen chickens.
Great.
And the owners said, well, it's a 160-acre parcel, and I don't want to sell it. And we said, well, would you let us build a house there? And he said, I'll think about it. And he had a grazing lease out to the people that had the cattle here, and he was very unhappy with those people. And after about a week, maybe two, he told us that we could build here and look after the place. So we pitched a teepee and a couple of other tents. And the first thing we did was to put up the barbed wire that had all fallen down around the place. And boy, I disliked barbed wire very much, but it was the only way we were going to keep the cattle out.
Right.
So that was our first project, and people were used to wandering around through this place because no one had lived here so long. And one of our first mornings here, we heard some motorbikes coming up to the gate that we'd put up and heard these young men's voices saying, "Hey, there's hippies living here." So our landlords got a lot of stories about the hippies that were living on their property, but they've been absolutely wonderful people. And over that first year, we gradually built a small cabin that we could live in, and over the following years, we gradually added on to it until it became quite a nice little house.
Right. And you've lived here all that time without electricity?
Yep.
Now, some people would, I mean, I guess that people can't really imagine what that's like.
Well, you get used to it. I was raised around electricity, but I'd been a few years without it at the commune. And we burned wood for heat and for cooking.
Right.
And there's a wonderful spring on this property. If we'd had enough money, we probably would have installed solar panels eventually or a water wheel because we have pretty good water.
Right.
But we never seemed to have that $3,000 a head that we could really do something like that.
Right.
So it's been a pretty amazing time here. We do have a telephone, which is quite amazing, and we got that, I think about 10 years after we were here. Because BC had a program in place for just a short while to connect people up to the various grids. But we couldn't afford the price it would have cost to bring in electricity here. I mean, we've got these high-tension lines that go across the top of the property, but you can't step that down very easily.
No.
But at that point, there were three families living on the hill, about a mile distant from each other, and the phone company agreed to hook us up to the line because there was a mine only about a mile as the crow flies, but about 3 miles on the road that was active, and they had phone service to there. So looked like it would be doable, but we had to bury a lot of the line ourselves, which we did.
Wow.
So then instead of having to use a radio phone, we had a real online phone that used to go out every time there was an electrical storm.
Well, now the service is pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, great. Great. Well, we'll be back in just a few moments. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Never before in the history of live radio have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the hidden realms. This exceptional mystic, seer, and healer creates a truly amazing bridge across the chasm that has separated man for eons from the unseen worlds of mystery. Join host Al Mean for an extraordinary and enlightening hour by Walking Between the Worlds on Voice America's Seventh Wave Network. Walking Between the Worlds airs live every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Are you tired of carrying a heavy wooden massage table around? Is your back sore? Or do you have imprints of cables and braces on your kneecaps after sitting and giving a Reiki treatment? Try a lightweight Astrolite massage table for maximum comfort. Contact us, Paul or Upasana, at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Over there, over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I have with me today Nora Nitza, or for some of you, you might know her as Joan Smith. And she lives just over the border in British Columbia, Canada. The theme, of course, for these weeks in the show is about quality of life and about this saying or promise that Hawaii Otakata made when she used to teach people Reiki, which was, Reiki will give you health, happiness, and a long life. And as I was thinking about quality of life, I was also thinking in another perspective about quality of life. You know, it just seems to me that in my Reiki practice, there are lots of people who become aware that things are not adding to our quality of life. And in fact, a lot of us, including myself, have this idea that I would be much happier if I could be a bit more minimalist. But thinking that and doing that are two very different things. So when I found out where Nora Nitza lived and that she lived without electricity and running water, I just thought, well, Reiki is perfect because it's just really back to the land. And I'm wondering what your experiences were with Reiki in those first years. What was that like for you to have Reiki?
Well, mostly I worked with my family. I treated my family or the animals because we had farm animals. This was a working farm for years.
Yes.
By the way, I should say we do have running water. We have gravity flow from
the
spring.
Sorry.
And we actually have hot running water when the wood cook stove is on.
Oh, right. Sorry.
That's okay. All the mod cons.
All the mod cons.
But as I started doing Reiki more, I thought maybe I wanted to take second degrees so that I could send distant treatments to people. Not knowing that second degree was going to open up a whole bunch of stuff in my own life, which it did.
Well, that happens to quite a few people.
Mm-hmm. So I took second degree the following year, 82, I think it was. Yeah, it was 82. And I met Bethel Fay at that class, who became a very important person in my life, too. And realized that at some point I would be teaching Reiki, and I had no idea how that was going to happen, living as simply as I did. Although this is something we always laugh at, that we chose voluntary simplicity, and believe me, there's nothing simple about living in the country without electricity.
That's true. It's fairly high maintenance.
It's very high maintenance. And yet, speaking about quality of life, the essence of living this deep in the country and feeling the cycles of life around me, and how there's such a wonderful exchange that goes on. And of course, Reiki was presented to me as universal life energy, and this place in its essence is just teeming with universal life energy, and you just have to open yourself to it. And I could feel it flowing through me as Reiki life energy.
And one of the things that I find quite beautiful is that there's a kind of attitude, it feels like, when I'm in my city self, I should perhaps call it that, where I get the attitude that I am in control of nature. And that, you know, and that, you know, I've got into this one-upmanship with nature, and then, you know, I read about what nature has done in the papers, you know, when it really explodes and says, hey, you guys, pay attention. You know, so a flood happens, or a volcano erupts, or a heat wave happens, and so on. And then I just think, well, now we're pitted against nature, you know, in the newspapers, and that's how it feels, you know, that we're in opposition. But when I'm out camping or out here, I just see that there is a way to live with nature and be a part of nature, which I think, I don't know. Have you ever thought that that there's a kind of what I could say a subtle message in media and the way people talk and the way that we live in the cities that says we are not a part of nature, we are the master of nature? Would you say that was true? And do you have this?
I think that message is there, and it's absolutely false. I think one of the basic steps is recognizing that all life is connected. And people that choose to live in the cities are still partaking of nature, although they've moved probably far away from the kind of interaction that people that live in the country have. But I think it's absolutely necessary that as human beings that we recognize that all life is connected.
Right.
I think that's the only way we're going to pull it out.
Right. Well, is it difficult to... I think one of the most frequently asked questions about your life up here that I've received is, what is it like in the winter with very short days? And, you know,
if you had a history of depression, it probably wouldn't be the place to live. I loved the winter because the physical workload was not so strong. And it was a time for interiority and spending a whole day reading a book, if that's what I felt like doing.
Wonderful.
And this is out of sync, but you asked me a question before about using Reiki, and in the summer when I'm gardening, and I have a huge garden, I was always raking the seeds and raking the transplants.
Right, right.
Connecting in that way. But in the wintertime, there have been times when I was raking the water supply to keep the water running because it would get very, very cold.
Right.
And having to remember to have the consciousness to leave the water dripping in the sink.
So that your water would come down and not freeze in the pipes.
Yeah.
Well, I've always had this, you know, kind of romantic dream of being holed up in some little cabin in the woods, you know, with snow all around me and not having a phone or anything and just reading and reading and reading and reading.
Yeah.
And eating whatever I wanted.
Yeah. Whenever you wanted.
And whenever I wanted, yes. Well, I don't know where it happened to that dream, but I'm going to have to go back to that one someday.
Well, it's challenging.
Yeah. You know,
because, again, it's a lot of it is just basic awareness of, you know, you have to remember the water. You have to check the pipes. You have to check. You know, be sure if you have animals, you have to be sure they have enough water. And as I started aging, I had to be careful that I didn't fall.
Oh, right.
Particularly after my initial partner had left and I was here alone a lot in the winter.
Uh-huh.
I had to be aware of myself. I took a couple of bad falls that scared me.
Uh-huh. And did you find that Reiki really assisted you in having security out here for yourself, or?
Oh yeah, I think so. I would treat myself every day, although not always a full treatment, but I always did
uh-huh.
at least some Reiki on myself, and I never was afraid of the wild animals around here, and there's a large bear and cougar population in the area.
Uh-huh.
I'd get rattled sometimes when lost hunters would wander in here in the middle of the night wanting to use the phone, just knowing I was, as a woman, alone.
Right, exactly. That would have been a little bit disconcerting.
But again, you know, you treat the areas where fear resides and help melt that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So Reiki's very supportive in that way.
And do you feel that you had to confront some of your own internal fears because you were living out here? If you were living in the city, maybe that would be different?
I have more fears in the city.
Well, that maybe says something about you. I don't know.
Yeah.
So what is it like living in the city? Because I know that in the last few years you've kind of lived in the... we would call it city.
I've spent the winter in a populated area for the last 10 years.
Sorry, her cat just jumped on the screen door and looked like, hello!
Well, it was very disconcerting to realize I probably had to lock my doors.
Uh-huh.
And lock my car, because, you know, there'd be theft in the area. And driving in traffic became difficult. Mind you, I was born in L.A., and I used to know how to drive on the freeways, but that's very challenging at this point in my life.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. It's very challenging for anybody, I think, in California these days. They just don't know it.
And when you live as remotely as I do here, it's very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And your hearing becomes attuned to the sounds around you in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do go down to more populated areas, my hearing just feels assailed by all the traffic noises and, you know, sirens. And if you hear a siren out here, you know something's got to be severely wrong.
Amazing. Well, it's like a lot of our... I think, well, for me, I can speak for myself. I know that it's a kind of dream to live like you've lived. And there are times when I've come out to visit you and vicariously had a little taste of it. And I'm just wondering how you feel now about moving.
Well, it's difficult, but I turned 76 this summer, and my body just can't handle it anymore.
Uh-huh.
I think that were it not for my daughter and her partners who have come out here and helped out a lot over the last 7 or 8 years,
uh-huh.
That I wouldn't have been able to stay here as long as I have
uh-huh.
in the summer. I'm very fortunate that there's another family transitioning into being here now.
Yeah.
And that the landlords are open to that.
Yeah, it's a beautiful legacy to leave.
Yeah.
Really.
It will be hard to leave my house. I'm very attached to my house. I'm a Cancerian, and my home is really important to me. And I'm stepping off into an unknown where I don't really know where I'll be for part of the year anyway.
Uh-huh. I'm just wondering if you're looking for a place that could be in nature more than your California place, or... Do you think you'll miss your home, or do you think you'll miss this natural world that you've been living in?
Well, I'll always have the natural world around me somehow. When I left here in the winter 10 years ago, it was because I remarried and my husband lived in California and he died last summer, which is part of the transition away from this place. And I'll go to our place in California for the winter, but my sense is that somehow I will find a way to be near nature in Canada. And where we live in California, there's a lot of nature around.
Oh, good. Well, we're going to take a little break. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a Transforming World. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki treatments can be done almost anywhere. On the floor, on a bed, or even on the dining room table. But I certainly prefer giving and receiving treatments on my comfortable, lightweight Astrolight massage table. Contact us for more information at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolight, the table of a lifetime.
Marissa, are you ready yet? I know you can hear me. You are not missing school again. Marissa! You trying to be a nobody or something? Let's go! Alright then. Hit it. I know you can hear this. Hey guys, move closer. That's it. Girl, I am not leaving.
Hey. Whatever it takes, don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Cut that noise, yo! I'm coming! Took you long enough. Thanks for the help, guys.
For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office. Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing, broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm here with Nora Nisa, also used to be known as Joan Smith, and we're just talking about a lifestyle that for perhaps some of you is something that you might have dreamed about or read in a book or watched in a movie, and Joan has lived. And one of the things that I wanted to then kind of segue into is to just feel what do you feel that there was a gift that your connection with Reiki gave you as far as your being aware of a different quality of life, or that you could connect to this phrase about health, happiness, and long life from my grandmother?
Oh, yes.
Yeah? Could you share that with us?
Well, I think this is a very healthy lifestyle, and there's been a lot of happiness.
Uh-huh.
And I think the word that you used, which is really important, is connection. Reiki is a very connective energy.
Uh-huh.
And, as the use of Reiki grows within us, you feel that energy moving through you in a much more concentrated way, I would say. And it's helped me to feel connected to all the life around me
mm-hmm.
in so many ways. And sometimes it gets kind of woo-woo.
What does that mean for you?
Well, it's like I feel like I have a very strong stone connection with stones. And
uh-huh.
when I hold stones in my hands, they often get so hot as I feel that there's a Reiki connection between us.
Uh-huh.
Does that make any sense?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
And I've used stones. I once sent a stone that I'd been giving a lot of Reiki to a friend that was getting arthritis in his hands. He was living at a distance from here. And I didn't know how he would receive that, but he felt the warmth of that stone whenever he'd pick it up, and he also felt the love that I had transmitted to him through that stone. And Reiki to me also is the energy of love.
Uh-huh. That's beautiful. And I guess for me, when I've had a connection with stones, for instance, they're a little bit bigger than the ones you put in your hand. Like I'm more of a very like house-sized stone person. So I have had great conversations with stones. I don't suppose stones that big are actually called stones, or called rocks, I guess, or whatever. But anyway, these rock beings, I call them.
Yes, living beings.
Living beings. And, I remember in around the same time, and it might actually have been the same Festival of Awareness that you went to, where there was this guy who was talking about the energy of, semi-precious stones and so on. And I just looked at him and I thought, this guy is like nuts, you know? And I would hold the stone and nothing would happen. So over the years, though, I started to meet people who were very much into crystals and so on. And now, after this whole process has happened over the last years, I really find myself giving Reiki to rocks and asking them for advice or mm-hmm. talking with them because I feel connected and I can hear, that's really woo-woo. I hear answers and I actually accept them as being something that's of value to me.
You bet.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it brings, it for me, it really has assisted me in bringing nature alive, like alive for me.
Yeah.
Instead of just feeling inert. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I guess one could do that in the city also, is that true?
Oh, I believe so.
It just is a little bit more, you have to have a little bit more, perhaps, intention of connection.
Good word, yeah. Yeah.
Would you say that was true?
I would say that was true.
Because I don't want people who are listening, who are living in the city, to think that they don't have a chance.
Oh no, not at all. And you know, it's amazing. Sometimes you'll be walking by what looks like a deserted lot, and there'll be some little plant that catches your attention, and it's to me, it's like saying, I'm alive, or mm-hmm. we're alive.
Or we're alive, yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of life in the cities. It isn't a life I've chosen, and yet I have many friends who have very vibrant lives in cities, and I'm always thrilled when people are developing community gardens to bring more life in, so that there's more connection.
That's great. And I see that happening all over the world in my travels, these community gardens.
Oh, I'm sure you see more of it in Europe probably than you even do in North America.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, it used to be kind of something that happened every day, and that's something that listeners could do on their own, to find a little plot of land in the city and start growing your own vegetables, or a pot in your
patio. Pot on the back patio, or if you're in an apartment, if you've got a window, any place. It's just having, and you know, give these little plants Reiki to boost them along, but just having other life around you is so important. Other life forms.
Other life forms.
Yeah, we have loads of life around us, but you know, just to recognize that other life forms are connected to you.
And what do you think that the value is of having that connection? Can you put that into words?
Oh, wow. It's connecting to life. I mean, it's living the essence of Reiki, of universal life energy. It's all around us.
So I guess there is a, what can I say? There it seems like there's a need for people to become connected, because it seems like that in our separation from each other, we end up separating from within ourselves. So if we have connection to even the plant of house plants, or a plant in our windowsill or whatever, or hang a hummingbird feeder from our window and watch the hummingbirds, or a bird feeder or whatever, that in connecting with those life forms, there's a part of us that we reclaim. Would you say that that was true?
I think that's true. And I also think that the tendency towards building communities now is so important. And of course, the Reiki community has expanded tremendously throughout the world. And I see that as the energy just growing and growing and including. It's a much more inclusive energy than what I grew up with,
you know,
being raised in suburbia. There wasn't a lot of connection. And I think that people are really hungry for community and connection at this point. And the more we can use anything that helps us feel that deep connection to all life, I just think that's so important. I'm also a member of another very large, expanding spiritual community. And to me, it's the same as the energy of Reiki. It just has a different name. And the way the community supported me through my husband's death last year was just totally amazing to me. The real love that people showed for one another, and I feel that in the Reiki community. I see the love that people have for one another and how eager they are to experience that connection. And we can take that out into the world in other ways. I mean, if you meet someone in a market that's having a bad day and just acknowledge them as a living human being in some way, it makes your day.
Yeah. Wonderful. And that's something that we can all pay attention to.
Oh, yeah.
And I've had that happen to me, and it's really made my day. So I just have to be more aware, I guess. There's this wonderful bumper sticker about about little kindnesses. I have to think about this.
I remember seeing it.
Random acts of kindness, or something like that.
Commit random acts of kindness.
Great. Well, we're ready for another station break. We'll be back in just a few moments. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Reiki practitioners everywhere prefer Astrolite massage tables because of optimum portability, leg clearance, easy setup, comfort, and quality. For 15 years, Rampa Enterprises, previously Magic Flute, has been shipping tables around the world to the global Reiki community.
Why wait any longer to get yours? Contact us now through our website at www.portablemassagetables.com and we'll help you select just the right table to fit your needs. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm here with Nora Nisa. And I think I just heard that you turned 76 this year?
Yes, I did.
Well, I turned 60, and I tell you, this has been the most terrible year of my life. And I'm looking forward to the next 30, but I went through a period of time where every ache and pain that I had when I got up in the morning, I thought, I'm having MS, or I'm having this, or I'm having that. You know, it was just crazy. It was like I turned 60 and my body's falling apart. Well, it was probably because I, you know, took a long walk the day before, or gardened in a funny way, or, you know, ate ice cream, and so I had to blow my nose when I got up, or whatever. So I know that the process of aging is coming to me. Right now I'm a little bit in a panic. But I have to just go back to this place of, you know, well, when we think of long life, you know, when I thought of long life, when I was 30 years old, I thought I would be 30 for all my long life. Uh-huh. But you're not 30, right, for your whole long life. So what happens to us as we reach the last or perhaps the most thrilling trimester of our lives, which is after 60?
Well, 60 was the turning point for me, and I met you when you were 30.
Yeah, it's amazing, huh?
After 60, I started recognizing that I couldn't remain the workaholic that I'd been on the farm. I had to start cutting myself some slack. Anyway, the last few years has been a time of concentrated letting go and mm-hmm. surrender to process. Oh God, I'm just hearing Bethel's voice saying, trust the process.
Right.
Those of you that knew her. And sometimes it's really rankling because I'm not wanting to surrender
right.
everything. And this past year in particular has been a time of surrender, of losing my husband and giving the farm.
Yeah.
Just leaving the farm and sorting through all kinds of stuff in the house. And I'm going to be losing my old dog very soon, too. She's
mm-hmm.
she's on her last legs. I hope I'm not on mine. I kind of have to laugh, though, when I think that 90 seems to be the new 70. I never knew a soul that was 90 years old when I was growing up. Maybe some of you did, but people just didn't
Not me.
Live that long.
Yeah, no. 70 and was old.
70 was old. And in many ways, I still don't feel old. That 30-year-old still lives inside mm-hmm. me. That teenager still lives inside me, but she can no longer dance the way she used to.
Right. So tell me, just in 5 words or less, no, just kidding, how do you reconcile this?
Acceptance.
Oh, that's a tough word. I never thought acceptance was going to be a tough word.
It's there. And my husband, bless his heart, died with great grace. He was ready to go. So he was a great teacher of ultimate letting go. And the other thing that I began learning how to do, which had always been very hard for me, was living a day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still not superbly easy to do that. I want to be able to have some control over my future, and I realize I don't. Uh-huh. Or that I have very little control over my future. And just being with the moment is really important.
Mm-hmm.
And because I live a life that's rather that of a hermit when I'm up here, I often don't spend a lot of time talking, so silence has become really important to me, too. There's amazing things happen in the veil of silence.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, acceptance. There's tremendous tranquility in tremendous
mm-hmm.
in getting to that place of acceptance.
Right. Well, I'm working on that one.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I told my kids at a family dinner once that it would be nice if I had the grace to just wander off in the hills and become a cougar dinner or something. And they just freaked out at that, of course. I'm looking into green burial right now.
Well, there's a lot of that around these yeah. days. It's wonderful. Well, you know, long life and the quality of life that people have chosen, I think, one of the things that I'm having to do is to let go of my romantic ideas about what that looked like
yeah.
and my really inaccurate, you know, ideas about, I don't know where, well, obviously I got them because I was 20 years old at one point and thought I would live forever. But, you know, I feel like in letting go of those, I have more of a chance of coming to the step of acceptance,
mm-hmm.
which is, so the letting go part is hard. So, you know, I just went on this pack trip for 5 days mm-hmm. and rode horses into the Colorado wilderness, which was wonderful, and had this experience of nature and worked in the timing of the horses and so on for our whole day and night. And that was really beautiful. But, you know, I could feel my mind want to go back to the security of clocks and schedules and so on. And I just hope that, and, you know, I think my next task is to find a way that I can accept this freedom that age brings me, which is to be eccentric, spontaneous, and more at home, so that I can have spontaneous days where I just do what's in front of me, what feels like the right thing to do, whether it's lying in bed reading a book or going out for a walk or playing a game of golf or visiting a friend or, you know, doing whatever. It's a fascinating possibilities.
And I just said good luck. It comes.
Yeah.
It comes. I mean, you're either in resistance or acceptance. And why spend the time in resistance? Doesn't uh-huh. get you anywhere.
Right. But resistance can be very subtle. Is that true? Like you think you're not being in resistance, but you really are.
Well, if you're trying to control something.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, our timing is not divine timing. And when you get that, things start to shift a little bit. I used to be very clock-bound. And, you know, things have to be done. They have to be done in this timing. And when I'm wanting to manifest something in my life and hold it in my Reiki hands and put it out there, I have to remember that my timing is different.
Yes. And the really true test of that is to, I think, and also a really wonderful support is to live in the timing of nature, which is not our timing.
No, and also recognizing that nature is constantly in evolution. And nature is such a broad word. Life is constantly in evolution.
Yes.
You know, we're evolving every day of our lives. I've listened to a wonderful rabbi speak, the man that wrote God is a Verb. Can't think of his name right now. And he said, if we were to really describe ourselves, we would say, I am Phyllising, or or I am Joaning, because we're constantly evolving. And our particularly in this time of climate change, the whole planet is going through an evolutionary change. And the cycle that I have recognized as summer is different than it used to be. And 2 years ago, we had a tremendous fire in this valley, and we were very fortunate to be spared, thanks to forestry and the winds not shifting.
Right.
But that's kind of stuff you just can't control.
Right.
You go with it, and if you don't accept it, oh well.
Oh well.
Oh well has become my big mantra over the last few years.
That's a great mantra. Thank you very much for your sharing of your life and the teachings that have come from that.
Thank you, my darling. It's been wonderful knowing you over the years.
Me too, you. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.